Thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here tonight and to, Lord willing, to be able to read from God's holy word. Greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We'd like to look in Genesis chapter 27. If you can kind of use your imagination tonight, if I had a picture up here beside me, big, maybe 8 by 10 or one of them bigger ones, of a particular individual, and I said, this is me. Now, in particular, the one that I was thinking of, Brother Rich Seniglio, Brother Rich looks good. The reason I say that, if you don't believe that, you ask him and he will tell you. And if I had his picture tonight and it was sitting beside me and I said, this is me. Now, all probability, you're not going to believe me, are you? I know his wife wouldn't. I know his children wouldn't. But Brother Rich and I don't look anywhere alike. And I don't mean, you know, we have this thing today in America and throughout the world of identity theft. People wanting to take somebody else's identity. And tonight I want to talk about identity, and some of it will be dealing with stealing identity. Now, I can claim that I'm somebody, but you quite often, you know, or always, you're still not that individual. And I hope that you follow with me in Genesis chapter 27. It's not a new thing. People trying to steal identity, it's been going on for a long time. Because in doing so, you obtain blessings. For instance, if I were to get Brother Kelvin's identity, I could get into his checking account and I could maybe get into some of the other things he might have, and I might could take his benefits and his blessings to myself, right? And in all that I could think that I could steal from him. Well, that's why you want somebody else's identity quite often. And this thing can go in several different directions, but if the Lord will bless, I want to read beginning in 27 in verse 6. It says, "And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and I make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats." Now this is Rebekah telling her son Jacob what to do. "And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." Why, goat and venison look a lot alike, they taste a lot alike. And now he says here, "And thou shalt bring it to thy father," in verse 10, "that he may eat, in that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said unto Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, and my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of his eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goat upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. His father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, be Lord over thy brethren, and let my mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end to blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Now I'm going to stop the reading there. You get the picture. Here was Jacob deceiving his father. Now God had already promised him the blessings in Jacob. And yet he, through his mother's advice, they deceived his father Isaac. And what you have here, though God could have blessed him and certainly would have, even without this deception, yet what you have here is an individual seeking to take the identity of another. So it's no new thing. Now, the first thing what I want to talk to you about tonight is that, as I said, you have identities. Every one of you. In fact, the word identity means oneness or sameness. And you could think about it of how that your identity, if I was to hold up Brother Rich's picture here tonight, you would look at it and then look at me and say, there's no comparison. Now, I'm not going to say we might get in an argument about who might look this way or that way. That's not the occasion. Now, just ask Brother Rich when you see him next, and he will tell you who looks the best. But nonetheless, Brother Rich, I could hold his picture up there all I want, but there is no oneness. There is no singleness there. I can pull out my license, and you can see resemblance of me and my license. Now, they're kind of old. You know, now you get them for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. So things are changing pretty quick. But nonetheless, you kind of get the picture. This is my ID. And a lot of times we have, Social Security numbers, we have picture IDs, whatever it be. But it's to say that this is who I am. That number that I have, and I'm not going to state it, but that number that I have, this is me. This is me. This is a way you can recognize me. You know, a description of me is written on my ID, and I have a picture there. Well, what I want you to see tonight, number one, you have IDs. Now sometimes people take, there's a lot of different ways. I've seen a lot of stories about people robbing people's IDs. Sometimes people are looking for people that are their grandchildren, their children. They can't find them. They're looking for them. They're trying to identify them. Sometimes people deceive others by in essence telling them that you're not really who you thought. They hide their identity. And what I want to try to draw to you tonight is in this thought of this message this evening, number one is that in Adam, every one of us, we have a identity with Adam. Now, the beautiful part of it is that God, and this is something that's not new, but God, before the very world was, He made a decision to love you. And in this decision, it's not because, according to Romans chapter 5, it's not because you were worthy, but it's because God decided to love you. He said, "This is mine." Now, the closest I can really give you a picture of this is I worked for a man in Blackshear. Probably 20 years ago, he and his wife, who could not have children, they decided to adopt a child. Now, in this, and this is not a perfect example, but it gives a big story of this, they adopted, they took this woman, cared for this woman, why, she, a young lady that was with child, and helped provide for her, and as she had that child, you know, they just loved that baby. Well, after a short amount of time, they found out this baby was severely handicapped. This baby was severely mentally retarded, or for lack of better words, mentally handicapped. And they didn't even know this child. This child cannot walk now. He's in a wheelchair. But they didn't know this child would have any mind. They didn't know this baby would have any abilities at all. And yet he's bloomed and really doing well. But the point is this, is they had the opportunity. They could not have. They thought there might have could have been some trouble, I believe, before the adoption. And after, nonetheless, they loved this child. They could have rejected this child. They could have not, they could have turned the child back in or not adopted this child. But they adopted this mentally handicapped child. And that child has flourished and bloomed. And what I want you to see today, that's not a perfect example, but it is an example of God's love. They had a lot of love for this child, and I remember him telling me that they couldn't bestow their love and then pull it back. Once they loved, they had to have this child. And if it was just as much as they had this child naturally, well, I want to tell you, God, in His amazing love, even went far beyond that. Because He loved you, God knew exactly what you were before the very foundation of the world. He knew not only were you a deformed child. I want to tell you another occasion about God's love that I saw. When I took pictures some 20 years ago or so with Brother Terry Barnard, we went in a little town in Florida. And in this town, he warned me, he said, there's going to be a woman that comes here and she's going to have a mentally retarded child. And he said, now this isn't just a mentally retarded, this is one that is severely deformed. Now I've never seen anything like it in my life. His eyes were nearly on top of one another. His head was twisted and distorted, no nose. His mouth was, it had a grotesque opening and just deformed. And he was 10 years old, but he was real tiny, real small. She brought that baby to get pictures taken of. It was her daughter who was on drugs, and the mama ran off and left the baby, and this grandmother took this baby in. She brought that baby, and to begin with, it nearly made me sick to my stomach when I saw this ugly child. And yet I see that this grandmother smiled and cuddled this child. This grandmother held that baby. This grandmother loved that baby. Now, before she was leaving, I had a whole different look at that child. That this grandmother wanted a picture of this baby to put this picture of this child. This is my grandchild. The identity wanted to say, this is my grandchild. You know, I would have said, let's doctor up this picture. Let's change this picture. But she said, this is my child. She loved that child just the way that child was. Now, I want to tell you, you are worse than deformed. You and I are worse than that in and of ourselves. We were not only sick, we were not only deformed, we were a stinking, rotten, wretched, dead. And God, before the world ever was, chose to love you. Now, I want to tell you, He said in Romans chapter 5, He said that it wasn't, you know, it's good, it's one thing for a man to be willing to die for a good man, but we were wicked and evil in and of ourselves, and yet Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. While we were that twisted, distorted sinner, wretched sinner. Now, brethren, we're not yet in our glorified bodies. We're not yet all that we need to be. And yet, brethren, I want to tell you, God loved you just how you were. And it's just the only picture I can see. It's like that grandmother just holding that little grandbaby when that distorted, ugly child. And yet she saw something beautiful because she loved that child. There was nothing in that child that would cause her to feel that love other than she desired that baby. Now I'm going to tell you, that's as close to God's love as you ever going to find in this life. Nothing will match that anymore. You know, when you think about it, when you have a baby, and most of the time babies, though some are prettier than others, there's some forming, and you know you have some thought that this child's going to do more for me. But this woman loved this child just how it was, and that's how God loves you. It's just where you were. He loved you in Christ before the world began. But I want to tell you tonight is that there are things in this identity, as I mentioned. The problem is the devil is endeavoring to keep you from the knowledge of who you are. That is, his desire not only to steal it, what he might obtain, but to steal it to keep you from having what you could have. Jacob stole, as it were, Esau's blessings. But I want to tell you, ultimately, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden. And yet God had already had a plan. Before the very world was, God had chosen a people in Christ. And as I said, even though they fell and even though they became twisted and warped and stinking and ugly, yet his love, just like that grandmother's love toward that child, was still upon that child, was still upon his children. And Jesus Christ willingly came and bled and died for us and was resurrected again for us. Yet I want to tell you tonight that the devil's idea, though he tried to keep you from being, as it were, the sons of God, as Adam was called the son of God, yet God had another way. God had another plan. And though he kept trying to keep from the oneness or the sameness or your identity, even now, you know what the gospel is all about? It's to bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. You know what he say? It's to show you your identity. It's to let you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You're no longer just a wretched, dead, rotten, no good for nothing sinner, but you are alive in Christ. If you've been born of the Holy Spirit of God, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have your picture is no longer that warped child, but now you have an ID. Your ID is a picture of Christ. Now the problem is this, is that we have still our daddy Adam, and we're really in a dual nature. And which identity? You know, one thing about it, sometimes you find about people having aliases. You have people having different identities. Well, I want to tell you tonight that even though you've been chosen in Christ and your identity is to be Christ in this world, is to live as Jesus Christ, to follow Jesus Christ, yet, brethren, so often Satan robs us to the point that we still identify ourselves with Adam. We still say, that's who I am. Adam, that's who I am. Now, I know every one of us in the flesh still are in a sense, but brethren, I want to tell you, I'm more than that. I've been born of the Spirit of God. I've been raised up. And so now our identity, you know, sometimes people try to keep you down. Sometimes we have different aliases. We want to be Mr. Religion on Sunday, but on Monday we want to be acting like the world. We want to act like our daddy Adam. We want that identity. And so we have a different picture ID on Monday than we do on Sunday. And yet what we need is the identity of Christ in our daily lives, because in that identity, in the identity of Christ, listen to what he says on down in Romans chapter 5. The identity of Christ, listen to what he says in chapter 5, and I believe it is, coming on down in verse 16. Know ye not that to whomsoever ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whomso ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You have two different identities. And if you obey, and if you follow your identity of Adam, the first Adam, then I want to tell you, what do you have? What are the benefits of that? You have death. You have problems. You have shame. You have troubles. And though we always have them in the flesh, in a sense, I want to tell you that when you're hooked to the identity of Christ, do you know what you have? You have blessing. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Why? Because you're now His son. You've been adopted. And even though you were not worthy, even though there was not anything beautiful in you, you're adopted into the family. So as you're adopted into the family, you know what He says we're going to have in heaven? We're joint heirs with Christ. But I want to tell you, that tells me I have a lot right here, right now, in the earnest of our inheritance, the kingdom of our God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I have it here today when I'm walking in His identity. So now, number one, I need to realize my identity. I need to quit trying to go back. You know, sometimes children are adopted as they're older. And yet, brethren, you know, they take on the name of another. And brethren, I want to tell you that you have an identity there. This becomes your name. This becomes your heirs to that individual, to that man or whatever. You're heirs to them. And so now I want to tell you, we've been adopted in the family. We're heirs to Christ. And if we realize what we have, then brethren, we're able to really benefit. Because see, the problem is sometimes we don't even know what we have. That's what the gospel, as I mentioned earlier, is all about, is to tell people what God has done for them. That you were ugly, wretched, deformed sinner, and yet God loved you. Now see, that little baby, didn't choose that grandmother. But that grandmother chose that child. That was her grandchild. And even as the man I mentioned about adopting the child that had mental handicaps, he loved that child. Well, I want to tell you, we were dead in sin, yet God had already determined to love us. And what a beautiful picture of the grace of God. And I want to tell you tonight that if you and I will only identify with Jesus Christ, you have, as it were, the blessings of heaven in your life. Now remember the prodigal son. Remember, he went out there. He was identifying with his earthly, natural Adam. And you know what he found out? Is that when you go out there and you live like hell, when you go out there and live in the world, you wind up under the judgment of God, and you will wind up eating hog slop with the hogs. That is, the hogs were treated even better than he. And he was out there, didn't have no food, no play. They mistreated him because he blew it all. And brethren, I want to tell you, every time that's where you wind up because of your identity. But when he came to himself and said, I want to identify again. I want to be a oneness. I want to just come back as a servant to my father's house. You know what happened when he went back to his father's house? His father saw him from afar off, and he ran to him. And he wrapped his arms around him and kissed him upon his neck and put shoes on his feet and put a robe on him and put a ring on his hand. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight that that's what we have in Jesus Christ. But the devil is trying to rob you and me. Because if he can keep you ignorant of your identity, if he can keep people out there to where they don't know, if they can doubt their identity, if they can be ignorant to their identity, or if you can live the double life, you will never reap the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily life. What is your identity tonight? Now, I will mention this as well. Isaiah chapter 4. This is what's wrong with the church in America. This is what's wrong. It is not the White House. I've come to the conclusion there are much problems up there in the White House. Under every administration, politics makes me sick. And the problems in the White House, that's problems. But you know why we have the problems in the White House, in Atlanta, wherever you want to talk about? Because in the church house, for so long, and they're not going to change. I'm not saying not vote. I'm just saying don't look for any magic change, no matter who you put up there. Because it's not going to happen. In fact, God, I don't believe, is going to bless it to happen to where there's going to be decent people up there in many, many ways, you know, as a whole, though there are some up in there. But what you're going to have, it's not going to happen because the churches are not what we ought to be, because the churches are not taking the identity of Christ. You know what they want, and what we sometimes want in our lives is found in Isaiah chapter 4. It says, and in that day seven men shall take hold of one, or seven women shall take hold upon one man. And it could be that way too in our society dealing with homosexuality, ungodliness. But we find here saying, we shall eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. You know what they're saying? We really don't want to identify with you. We only want your name. We only want to bear your name to take away our reproach, but we don't want any likeness. We're going to wear our own apparel. We're going to do our own thing. And brethren, I want to tell you tonight that you will not reap the benefits of God, the blessings of God. We can't as a nation, we can't as a church, unless we're willing to have the name of Jesus and the garments of Jesus in every aspect of our life, that we put on the breastplate of righteousness, that we live holy lives, that people, remember what he said in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, that he said, be ye holy for your Father in heaven which is holy. We're to be holy as God. What does that mean? We're to live a holy life, a part that is set a life that's set apart. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I be a father unto you, and ye be my what? Sons and daughters. It's the same lesson over and over and over. But who are you identifying with? You got to come out. You got to come out of the world. And God help me to do so. And God help you. That our picture would be like, not Brother Philip Nichols, not Brother Rich, but that me and Brother Rich and all of us would have the picture of Jesus Christ. That you would say, there's a Christian. By the way, they were called Christians first at Antioch for a reason. Because they were laying their lives down. They identified with Christ. People were saying, look at there. Those folks are Christ-like. Now I'm going to tell you, you have to lay aside tradition, you have to lay aside prejudices, you have to lay, you know, I talk with folks about that sometime, is all kinds of prejudice and traditions. You know, we get upset about this or that or the other. You know, all you have to do is stand where the truth is. That's all God's called me to do. Right is right, wrong is wrong. If any tradition goes against that, if anybody, it don't matter what color, what nationality, whatever it is, there's right and there's wrong. And that's who, I always love it in the Old Testament. I remember Brother Billy preaching it years ago when Joshua, when he was praying, I believe it was, he saw an angel with a sword. And he asked the question, he said, are thou with us? Are you for us? Are you for them? And you know what that angel's response was? He said, I'm not for neither one, I'm the captain of the Lord. I'm for the Lord. That's who I'm following. I'm for the Lord. I want to tell you tonight that that's who we need to be. Is not for this one or that one or the other, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right's right and wrong's wrong. God help us to identify with that. To identify with Jesus Christ. God help us. God help us that we won't let anybody steal us. Our identity. You know, one last thought. You know, sometimes people get amnesia. Sometimes people deceive themselves. Sometimes people think that they really look good. Sometimes people think that they can sing good. You probably said that about people here. You probably said that about others. I have, where they thought that they was looking good, and if they could see themselves through my eyes, I didn't really see them as looking that good. And yet, nonetheless, we all have these thoughts. And you know, a lot of time our identity, we're not necessarily who we think we are. All I need to be striving to be is like the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. In my words, in my action, in my life. And brethren, I need to remind myself. And sometimes people out there get hurt. You know what we have to do? Sometimes they get hit in the head and they forget who they are, spiritually speaking. And we need to remind them. They have to be shook up. They have to be reminded. Get their memory back. And that's what the gospel is about. To stir up your minds. To stir you up. Get your mind back. You're not a worldly individual out there. You're a child of the King. That's your identity. Jesus Christ. God is your Father. Jesus is your brother. The church. You're married to Christ. He's your husband. God bless you for Christ's sake, is my prayer.